Pastor Joe Warner, who was here a few weekends ago, seemingly out of the blue. I was finishing things up this morning, and I hadn't had my phone turned on yet. I turned on, I got a voicemail. And Pastor Joe says, I woke up this morning with you on my heart. And he said, I don't know what this means, but he says, I just believe the Lord was saying, go for it. So I'm like going, okay. Wow, what is that? Yeah, exactly. You know, it could be the missions trip. It could be a lot of things. So we'll just go for broke and go for it all today. How's that? All right. So this morning, last week, we focused on the illustration of building a natural fire, all right, in order to help us understand what is necessary for experiencing physical healing. Now, for some of you, this may be kind of a new thought if you have any church background whatsoever, because you can go to a lot of places in the body of Christ, and they will tell you various things about whether you can be healed, you can't be healed, you can partially be healed, sometimes you're healed, sometimes you're not healed. Well, I'm going to tell you right from the outset, and don't gasp too hard, because I've been telling you that we are going to be killing some sacred cows that exist in the church, amen? And I've been methodically working at that one about, is it sometimes not God's will to heal? Well, as you know, I have shown you why it is God's will to heal, and I'm not going to back off of that. Now, if you're here visiting, your eyes could probably get real big right now because you have none of that teaching that I gave. And if you would like to discover that, you can get CDs from Jason. We also post the messages on our website so you can listen to them off of our website, okay? But here's just, I'm just telling you right now, that's the foundation that we're going with, that it is God's will to heal. And just because we don't see God heal sometimes does not mean it's His will. What happens is that sometimes we can have a part in that, okay? And again, I said that we are not a church that condemns people, because there are churches that will say, well, the reason you don't get healed is you don't have enough faith. Lie. Or you must be in sin. Another lie, okay? And so, just so you know, we already rule those out. That's not acceptable, okay? But there can be legitimate reasons. Now, can sin and faith be a part of that? Sure, sure. But you can't assume that, okay? And so last week, as we said, I shared an illustration that related to building a fire. And we looked at the fact that fire is a reality that exists. How many would disagree with that? Okay, in America, we've all experienced fire, so we won't disagree with that, right? Okay. However, can we go up anywhere we want to and go, Lord, I know you've given us fire. Please give me a fire right here, right now. Most of us are going to look at you like, what screws loose in your department? Right? None of us can walk up and say, Lord, please give me fire, give me fire. Now, has the Lord given us fire? But can we just automatically say, Lord, please give me fire? So there are some conditions associated with getting fire, correct? Okay. Well, the same is true with physical healing. All right? In order to obtain fire, we must combine three substances under the proper conditions in order to do so. As we said last week, that would be some form of fuel, oxygen, and heat, or in other words, an ignition source. If you don't have all three of those and combine them together, you don't get a fire. All right? And as we've seen in God's Word, physical healing must also combine some spiritual substances in order to receive healing, all right? More than likely, many of us have been trying to get healing from God by repetitively asking Him. Would you agree? Just like we've been repetitively asking God for fire, you know, if we asked God for fire. Just let me tell you, if you keep doing that, you're going to probably get about the same results with healing that you do with trying to ask God to give you a fire. It doesn't work that way. Okay? Now, already I love looking around because I just see the looks on people's faces like, they're just trying to really, what? I know that some of us have not heard anything like this before, okay? Trust me, there was a period in my life where, I've wrestled through this. And Lord knows, my wife and I have had 21 years of trying to have children. And so I certainly know about this whole issue a bit, okay? But I'm telling you, I'm just stepping out in faith and saying I still believe that Abraham and Sarah existed. Okay? And God is able. Okay? God is able. And I believe God is willing. Now we'll leave that for another time. But the truth is experiencing healing does not work by just simply asking God to heal us. All right? So, has God given us fire? Yes. Has God given us healing? Yes. But the truth is, just like experiencing fire requires the right substances, we shared last week what the right substances are that are necessary for experiencing physical healing. And I'm going to share those briefly again. The substances are all spiritual in nature. So, when we think of substance, we usually think of something we can taste, touch, see, smell, and hear. Okay? But guess what? The Bible says that the way you touch the substances of the spiritual realm is through faith, not through your senses. Okay? Right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen, or being certain of what we hope for and believing in what we can't see. And I'm going to add taste, touch, smell, hear, or feel. Well, feel, I guess, is touch, so I just added one in. Again and again, when you read through the examples where Jesus or others performed healings and miracles, you will see these three substances at work. Now, not all of the three spiritual substances are always mentioned during occasions when healings occur in the Bible. All right? Quite often, you only see two at a time. I believe that's because one of them is presumed, and that's the issue of power. Okay? Just like the power that we have on here. We don't think about whether it's going to exist or not in order to obtain it to turn the lights on, do we? We just automatically assume it's there, so we go turn the switch on. Okay? So we act in faith that the power is going to be on, always. And that's often what you see in these occasions where there's healings and miracles in the Bible. And again, when you read through the examples where Jesus performed healings and miracles, these substances are there. So when we study and look at these three common spiritual substances, it becomes apparent that all three must somehow be combined. That doesn't work if just one or two are there and the others not present, just like with a fire. If you have fuel and oxygen, but you don't have an ignition source, well, just go ask the people on Survivor how well that works. They try and they work that stick. Well, you know, okay, heat's an ignition source, but it's not an easy one if you don't have something like a flint or, a match or a butane lighter or something. So one's not there, it's hard to build a fire, all right? If you would like to look at and study out the passages, or at least many of the passages related to these three spiritual substances, what I've done is I've made a list of scriptures that I have available for you in digital form, because there's about 9 pages. And so if you would like those, then what I'm going to have you do is give your email address to Jason so he can just email it to you, and then you can have as many copies as you want, okay? Because it's mainly scripture, and I've kind of emboldened areas where kind of these are being referred to, all right? If you would like that, get with him. If you don't have email, and that's not a means, yes, we will be glad to give you a hard copy, but if you would do that digitally, I would appreciate it, all right? All right, but now, as I concluded last week, I asked any of you if you have ever had a difficult time building a fire. Okay? Depending on the quality of the fuel you possess and the amount of oxygen that's present, it could be too much or too little, right? The wind's blowing like crazy. It's pretty hard to get a fire lit. If there's no oxygen source whatsoever, pretty hard to get a fire lit. All right? And, of course, the quality of your ignition source is important. All right? All of those can have a bearing. So how many of you know that if you don't understand what important conditions must exist related to the substances you're using in building a fire, you're probably not going to be very successful, right? I mean, obviously you need to know if you're using wood for a fire, it needs to be dry and not wet, or you're going to have a hard time. If you're dealing with oxygen, again, do I have enough or not enough? You need to know that that's necessary for building a fire. Now, I know for what you're looking at me like, hello, I mean, we're not stupid. We've been around a while, right? But it's what seems simple to us in the natural is not necessarily so simple in the spiritual, okay? And then with your ignition source. So with the same principle with physical healing, depending upon our understanding of the power that we have available to us for healing and our understanding of how faith actually works and our understanding and exercise of spiritual authority, these can all have a bearing on how successfully we experience physical healing in our bodies. And I'm just going to tell you what I've learned is because we have, in much of the church, just believed that getting our sins forgiven and getting saved is something that happens on the inside, and that's the end of it, other than living a godly life. We really don't know a lot about the whole exercise of faith and authority in the body of Christ. We're very ignorant of those realities. And in some places, they aren't even taught, because some people don't believe in the whole concept of physical healing and that it's God's will. Well, guess what? If that's where your faith begins, that's where your faith is going to end. You won't pursue it any further. You won't think of it. You won't even look for it in the scriptures. It's like it will be you will be blinded to those realities, okay? And so, just like I've asked you to do, and I'm going to continue to ask, when I start talking about some of those old sacred cows, I'm just going to ask you, just keep chewing for a while. Don't quit on me. Give me a chance. Give us some time. You've had plenty of years where somebody got to teach you the other stuff. Give me a chance to teach you what the Word of God says by the example of Christ Himself. That's what I'm asking you to do, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, there is absolutely no way I can teach you all of this in a week's time. I can't even do it in months of Sundays. I mean, because, you know why? It's because we have so many pillars of thought that have been erected. I have to first work at tearing down the old pillars before I can even begin building the new pillars. You see what I'm saying? That's what a stronghold is in the Bible. And the enemy has sown a lot of strongholds, even in the church, And I'm just going to tell you, I believe today that's why the church in America is seeing less people come into the kingdom, not more people. It's because by reason alone, an argument or understanding alone, we are not going to convince people that the gospel and that the word of God is true. There are too many people out there that have forged arguments about marriage, about life itself, about I could carry on the different foreign schools of thought that inhibit us from getting the gospel out there. That's the goal of the enemy. Guess what? The battlefield is right here, folks. What people believe. You know what? And so you're not, if they've got erected thoughts, you're not going to out-argue them. You're not going to out-reason them. You know what's going to get through? When they got something going on in their body and all of a sudden, supernaturally gets healed and there's no explanation for it. How many think my reasoning just kind of goes out the window at that point? I can't explain it away. I just know my foot's healed. Or someone by the gifts of the Spirit has a word of knowledge about something that has gone on in their life that there's no way they could have known, but God wants them to know that He knows it, but God chooses to work through a person, so He makes it known to a person, and the person talks with that other person, and all of a sudden they go, "How'd you know that? God?" They can't argue it. They might not be able to figure it out, and they may try to reason it away. But you know what? It's gonna pique enough curiosity that they're gonna at least want to hear the next thing you got to say. Before they could care less. See, these are called supernatural things, and the church has reasoned them away completely in various places. Okay? And so, here's the challenge. I can't help you instantly grasp this stuff, but I'm going to work at it week in and week out. We're going to keep chipping away at it, okay? And so, this is what we're going to look at for a period of weeks. Number one, we're going to look at where did these spiritual substances come from? That's an easy answer if you think about it. They're spiritual. Where else are they going to come from? God. Okay. Well, you got the first one. But we'll probably lean in on that a little more. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to look at what conditions must exist in order for these spiritual substances to effectively work. Then we're going to look at how we ourselves have come to possess these spiritual substances. Did you hear me say that? You already, if you are a follower of Christ, possess these substances. You already possess the resurrection power of God on the inside of you. We read that with the spiritual blessings in Ephesians 1. You already possess faith. Okay? It may need to be strengthened. But if you didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there would be no faith present. But because you do, Christ has deposited the ability to believe on Him inside of you, so faith is already present. And because you have placed your faith in Christ, one of the spiritual blessings is that you have been forgiven and redeemed. And because you've been forgiven and redeemed, your sins have been blotted out, and He has adopted you as a son of God, meaning, like in the Roman culture, you have all the same rights and privileges as the natural-born son. Well, who's the natural-born son of God? Jesus Christ. And because you've been adopted into that family, because of the principle that Paul taught about, you receive the same rights and privileges that Christ has as the natural born son. Therefore, you have authority as a son of God, not the son of God, as a son of God in the earth. Do you know that? You already possess that authority, folks. But you know how many Christians walk around and they don't even know that? And how many know if you don't know you got something, you're probably not going to use it? Or you're not even going to know how to use it. How do you use your authority as a son, a child of God? Well, I'm not preaching on that this morning. That's coming in the future. But you need to understand how to do that. Exercise your authority. So we're going to be talking about how to that we already possess these substances, and finally, how we can bring these spiritual substances together in order to experience physical healing. Now, I'm going to tell you, physical healing is not the end in itself. It is a means to an end. You know what the end is? The kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the end. And God wants you healthy so you can fulfill the destiny that He established for you according to Psalm 139 that He ordained for you before one of those days ever came to be. God has got a plan for every single person's life. And you know what? We have a very real enemy that's trying to short-circuit that plan. And one of the ways he tries to do it is to get us to believe that God doesn't want to heal us physically so that he can convince us that sickness is a part of something that you need as a Christian in order to learn something. All the while you keep dealing with sickness upon sickness, you can't fulfill the work that God's called you to do. You can't be the person He's called you to be, and therefore you cannot fulfill the days that God has planned out from you. But if you believe it's God doing it and not the enemy doing it, then you're going to succumb to it, and then you're going to be ineffective as a follower of Christ. How many ineffective followers of Christ do we have thinking that God is just making me sick? Would you do that to your kid? Make them sick to teach them something? You might discipline them. You might give them a time out. Some of you might give them a spanking. But we have interpreted way too long that God's discipline has to deal with physical sickness. Then why does Jesus say in John 10:10, the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy? I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Is sickness a robber or a blessing? Do you see anywhere in Scripture when sickness comes, even in the Old Testament, did it come as a blessing to the people or as a curse to the people? It always came as a curse, always, never as a blessing. And then when Jesus came on the scene, did Jesus ever leave somebody in their sickness who came to Him? How many passages do we read when Jesus went into city after city after city, except His own hometown, because they were offended by Him, they were too familiar with Him, and they had unbelief. But when He went to the other places, there's like five different occasions where it says Jesus went into a city and healed every sickness and disease and all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Let's get the Bible straight. Let's read it the way it reads, not the way we have been taught in the past or we believe currently. John Bevere says that. There's two ways you can read the Bible. You can believe what you read, or you can read what you believe. Let's go and read it and believe it. Okay? Now I realize sometimes that's hard when you've been taught that, well, that's what I thought I was doing all those years. You know? But I want you to think about this. Because It's hard, I realize, because, you know, matter of fact, I've had some conversations with some of you. And you said, you know, I've been taught all this, all these years. It's so hard to shift gears. And that means I have to come to terms with the fact that some of these people were teaching me the wrong things. So I get what I'm up against here, okay? But I want you to stop and think if that's the first time that ever happened. What about Jesus and what the Pharisees had taught the people about the law? See, it's called the traditions of men. Do you realize how many traditions of men have become doctrine? Not necessarily truth. It's doctrine. It's taught. That doesn't mean it's truth. You see what I'm saying? And so I realize I'm not a perfected vessel either. So you know what? That's why I keep giving you the lists of scriptures that I give you, because I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to take those lists of scriptures, I want you to study them for yourselves, and show yourself approved. And you know what? Too many Christians want to come and have pastor bring the big bottle around on his shoulder and stick it in your mouth week after week after week, and they never want to go to the refrigerator and pick it out themselves. Now, don't get me wrong, we're called to feed the flock. But there comes a point where, flock, you've got to grow up and you've got to feed yourself too. Stop feeding on the bottle. Let's get some meat in this place. Right? Yeah. I shouldn't have to feed you meat all the time. You ought to be able to grab a fork and get it yourself. And then if you struggle or question, I'm there to help. Okay? But I'm not here to be your spiritual growth. That's your responsibility. Okay? So let's begin. Where do the spiritual substances of power, faith, and authority come from? I've already told you, from God, right? But how many know it's not good just to take my word for it? How many think it's good to take God's word for it? So let's look at Colossians 1, 15 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God. Notice invisible God. That means He's spirit. Okay? The firstborn of all over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Do you realize? Because you can't experience it with your five senses, we talked about this last week, does not mean that something does not exist. If you had never seen fire before, you would not know that it exists. The only reason everybody in here says it exists is because you've experienced it. Because we're natural people. But the reality is, the kingdom of God is currently in spiritual form. Do you know that? It will be here when Jesus returns in physical form. But you need to know something. The kingdom of God is already present. That's why when Jesus went and told the disciples, heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the kingdom of God is at hand. It's because it's only the kingdom of God being at hand that there was power, authority, and faith to heal them. And that power and authority and faith was being exerted through the people that were laying hands on them to heal them. Now, there are occasions when that person's faith was exerted, and that allowed for a healing to come. Okay? But they were typically begin in the one who's ministering, not the one who's being ministered to. You have to learn how to put these substances together in order to be able to receive directly from God. Okay? But that's what I would like us to get to. that we all know how to bring the spiritual substance together so that we can receive from God directly, not through somebody else having to minister to us, such to the fact that once you can do that, if you can do it for yourself, guess what? You can go lay hands on somebody and you can provide all three benefits to them. What it is it's like it's the power of God, right? So listen, your hands, spiritually speaking, become jumper cables. You hook up, and the power of God is released through you to them. Okay? And this isn't just a nice idea, folks. This is a spiritual reality. Because God has created both things visible and invisible. Okay? Whether thrones or powers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If it wasn't for the spiritual reality of God, guess what? All natural realities would fly apart. It's the spiritual reality that exists that we can't see, taste, touch, smell, or hear that hold everything that exists in the natural together. Okay? And verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Think about that. One body, the fullness of God dwelling in him. Okay? Now, you understand, the life of God, the power of God, the authority of God, all dwelling within him, okay? And to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So guess what? God is trying, through Christ, his purpose of shedding his blood is to reconcile that which has departed from him back to him. Okay? But I do not believe it ends there. And too many Christians do. Too many Christians believe, just get me saved, let me live a happy life, and I'm good to go, you know, and get me to heaven. The job's done. No. Let me tell you, the reason Jesus came, you know, if that's the case, if that's all it's about, then why didn't he just come, get growed up, forget 12 disciples and 120, and then telling them that they need to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and make disciples of, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria? And I mean, if it's all about just getting saved and living a happy life and getting to heaven, then why did he teach us all that stuff? Why didn't he just come, die on the cross, get it over with, raise from the dead, go to heaven, and just himself go, hey, down there, I've taken care of everything. Now, if you'll just believe in me, you can have eternal life. Why didn't he do it that way? Because guess what? He expects the very works that he did for you and me to do. And that's why he modeled it. And that's the problem. I shot this cow a few times. Maybe I better shoot it again this week. That too many of us really think that it's just about... I lost my train of thought. Hate that. Wow. I'm getting so excited. Well, let me go back to the paper then. Sorry. Gal, I hate that. See, that wasn't on my notes, so sometimes when I get in a rhythm, anyway, trying to think. Well, anyway, so all of the things that are on the earth are held together by God. And what happened to mankind's ability to possess and use spiritual substances of faith, power, and authority? What happened at the fall? What happened? They were lost, right? They died spiritually, so that meant they were separated from God. And why did we lose them? What was it that caused everything to be lost? Sin. Okay? So because of sin, we lost the life of God on the inside of us, right? You know that. God said to Adam, if you eat any fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Did he die physically? Well, 930 years later. But instantly he died spiritually. He was separated from God. Okay? And so, when he died spiritually, then guess what? He was separated. He lost the connection. So therefore, he lost spiritual power. He lost spiritual authority. And even faith began to wane in the earth, did it not? Because people begin to turn away from God, so much so, and so much wickedness in the earth, that God grieved that he ever created man in the first place. Okay? And so, sin separated us. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Right? And so, all of those realities were lost. So now what? How does mankind regain what was lost? How does mankind regain spiritual life, power, and authority? Okay? Can we do it on our own? We don't have the ability anymore, do we? Because it's God that we got separated from. So guess what? It's God who's got to bring us back. So the way we get reconciled is 1 Corinthians 15:21 through 22. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now, in Christ means you have a relationship with him, correct? So in Christ, all will be made alive. So what mankind could not do for themselves, God did for us through Jesus Christ. And this morning, we celebrated communion as a remembrance of that very reality, right? That Christ paid the price on our behalf. What I want to leave you with, I got to cut this short. What I'm going to leave you with today is I want you to think about this question. What was it about Christ that made him able to pay the price for our sin? Now you may say, well, that's not hard, Pastor. That's pretty simple. All right? What was it about him that made it possible for him to pay the price we couldn't pay? Okay. I'm going to give you a little secret that we'll pick up with next week. Many people think that the reason healing doesn't occur and that Jesus no longer heals is because healing was only, this is the sacred cow, I just remembered, woohoo, it came back to me, that the miracles and the healings were just to show that Jesus was the Messiah. That's the reason. And then once Jesus was here and the disciples were here and everything, you know, was completed with what the apostles did after Pentecost and we got the Bible, we now have the Word of God. So therefore, we no longer need supernatural things anymore. Okay? That's the sacred cow I shot a couple times last week. Shoot it again. Okay? But what I'm going to tell you is this. And I said this last week, Jesus didn't come so that the miracles could show who he is and that they end with him. Jesus came to show us the miracles and the healings to get the new covenant underway and the power of God functioning in the earth in a way that it had never done before, that it could occur through every believing person in the world, that God is not a respecter of persons. And so what we're going to look at next week, Lord be willing, is what it is about Jesus that made it possible for sin to be dealt with and for healing to come. Because those realities that exist and existed even while Jesus was on the earth is what he came to give us in our spirit, right? So the realities that exist in Christ have now, through his death and resurrection, been provided to us. And if we now have what he had, then why aren't we using it the way he did? You see what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you it has more to do with ignorance than it has to do with that the doctrines say those things passed away with the days of the apostles. Okay? So we're going to pick up next week, and I'm going to begin to just tease that apart with those things that existed in Christ and how he has made them available to us so that we can do what he did. We can have what he had, and we can affect the world the way he affected it. That's why we're here, folks. That's why we're here. See, so healing is not an end in itself. Healing for you is so that you can get whole, so that you can fulfill the destiny and the plan that God has in the earth according to what he has planned for you and the people he's brought you to connect with. Amen? Amen. So this morning, I'm going to tell you this table that we celebrated this morning is the answer to all of it. Healing, salvation, all of it are encompassed in this table. Not just part of it, all of it. But it's like Jesus said, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or rise up, take your mat, and go home? Anybody can say your sins are forgiven, but the proof comes when you say, rise up, take your mat, and go home. But Jesus said, so that you know the Son of Man has authority in the earth to forgive sins, rise up, take your mat, and go home. See, he wanted people to know that, yeah, he was in a physical body, but there was an authority inside of him that also could say, your sins are forgiven. Okay? And because he's provided forgiveness of sins through the cross, we've now received the authority to bring together those spiritual substances, faith, power, and authority, and begin to do the same thing. But we're going to have to tear down these old ideas, these old traditions, and rebuild new ones before we're actually going to see Holy Ghost fire. We got some wet wood. Wet wood. We got some weak oxygen. We don't necessarily know how to speak to our mountain and use our authority and light that fire. See what I'm saying? Do you want to learn? Do you want to see it happen? I do too. I'm not satisfied. And I'm telling you, I'm with you. I'm going to just tell you, I haven't got it all figured out yet either. Okay? But I ain't quitting until I get some fire in this place. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you.